Okay, remember Mother Bathrick. That's some other revolutionary bullshit. I don't even care. It's not even worth mentioning. Take your kids out of government school. I agree. Keep a sense of humor. Tom Metzger's good at that. Assume all telephones are tapped. Yes. Don't debate. Absolutely. You should not be in a state of mind where you want to try and convince people of anything. Those days are done. Cover your assets. You know what? It may be a good idea to get your house in your mother's name and stuff like that. Expect to lose everything anyway, number 36. You know, this person didn't talk about this, but remember, the thing that you hold dear the most, you're going to lose that someday. No matter how tight you clutch onto something, you're going to lose all the things that are important to you someday when you die or when that person dies. Okay? You know, don't hold so tenaciously on the material thing. It's a waste. It's just, I just can't understand that personally. Respect individuals, not groups. Yeah, okay. Fun and freedom on the internet. You guys are doing that already. Don't say anything that you don't want the world to remember. I guess that there's a database that records everything that's ever said or within the last 10 years or so. I guess they got that technology, you know. Whatever. Use PGP intelligently. That's pretty good privacy. Challenge all assumptions. Yeah, I agree with that. Move to a small town. Absolutely. Read fiction. Read history. Read Founding Fathers, philosophers, and philosophers of freedom. I wouldn't stress too much on that. Read Monkey Wrenching and Getting Around the System. Absolutely. There's this guy often named Santoro. Victor Santoro. Talent impresses a lot of his books, and he talks a lot about that. Read Self-Reliance. Read Strategic Thinking and Fighting. Absolutely. That should be 90% of your reading material. There's stuff like that. Number 50, read periodicals, political periodicals. I think it's a waste of time, really, because, you know, they're all slanted by Jewish writers. You can't kill the beast by sucking at its tit. You know what? I disagree. I say collect unemployment. I say get on food stamps. I say faking an injury or some kind of condition where you can get on Social Security early. Because if you guys are in your 20s, you think Social Security is going to be around when you're a senior citizen? It's not, okay? My father's generation who worked hard and paid into that system, that money is gone. Gone because of the fucking MUDs. So, you have no allegiance to anything American anymore. You know, and I think a lot of you, I think you may need to make a mind change in that. To be proud to be American is the utter folly. It is the utter foolishness. What the fuck are you proud of? That you have a military that can go kick the shit out of some third world country? So what? You know, I mean, fuck America. All right, 53. Bust anti-freedom organizations by driving them broke. Now, this one's a good one. You know, these people who want to take guns away from people and all this other stuff, usually they have a 1-800 number. Call these 1-800 numbers because they have to pay for that call. Call the shit out of them. Call them 5 times every day and try to talk to someone different. You can drive them broke and they're not getting their money's worth, you know. 54, another term you use for 1-800 numbers, make false claims about IRS violations on enemies. They have to check it out. If you call the IRS on someone and say, hey, I just want to stay anonymous, but this guy, he's doing some shady stuff, he's got income that I know is not right, if I have to pay my bills, so does he. And they will check it out. You can do that with other alphabet soup organizations. ATF, DEA, and stuff like that. Don't blame everyone else for your problems. You know what? You know, seize the bull by the horn, you guys. Stand up for people who stand up for their rights. You know what? If you can do it covertly, go ahead. But I don't. I like I said, don't make a public spectacle of yourselves. Don't cooperate with friendly census takers. I kind of agree with that. Know where your line in the sand is drawn. My line in the sand was drawn on January 6, 2006. What happened with Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom, for me personally, that's when I just said there's absolutely no way, no way I will play by the rules anymore. That was the last straw for me. Okay? I was already on the cuff, you know, when that shit Wichita went down. When that happened, I'm like, you know, I was just seething underneath, you know, and if it, you know, but when that shit went down in Knoxville with that young, white, attractive couple, that was it for me. Absolutely, I adhere to no laws but my own laws anymore. As far as I'm concerned, the system's to blame for that. And those fucking niggers that did that shit, the rape, torture, and murder of those people, all five of them, need to be tied to a chair and have body parts chopped off and someone there with a blowtorch to cauterize the wound so they don't bleed to death. And the person did the chopping, you need to whisper in that person's ear calmly, you really shouldn't rape white women. You need to be nice to white people. Boom, off goes a foot. He's screaming, you cauterize the wound. I'm not trying to be a bad guy here. You need to stop raping white women. Boom, now off goes a hand. You know, I mean, just like that. Fucking drive them nuts. I mean, they deserve that. Okay. Don't cooperate with... All right, I read that. Buy and carry the Citizens Rule Book. You know what? Fuck that. Buy the White Urban Survival Guide, read the shit out of it, and put it in a place where no one will find it. Join FIJA. I don't even know what that is, because I have nothing marked by it, so it's not worth talking about. Keep a record of your dreams. You know what? I wouldn't do that as a ghost wolf. I wouldn't keep a written record of anything. Consider sovereign citizenship. That's where you, like, petition to get your name off the IRS so you don't have to pay. You know what? That attracts attention. Don't do it. Yeah, but this is good revolutionary stuff. No, it's not. All it is getting your name on the fucking radar. Don't do this shit. The stuff that I say is good, you know, go ahead and do it. Like, having fun with the 1-800 numbers. But, you know, joining shit and writing people, don't do that stuff. All right, get your records to safety, you know, in case of a Hurricane Katrina or whatever. Personally, if I lost all my identification, I think that's fucking great. You know, don't let your identification enslave you. Get around that stuff. Watch your local government, absolutely. You never know what they're up to. Don't let your possessions imprison you. You know, he actually wrote a little something about, you know, about the car you drive. You know, don't let your ego get in the way. Don't buy a car that attracts attention to you. He was right on with that. Cultivate cheap taste. That's when he starts talking about, you know, reading a book or learning how to make your own clothing or learning a survival skill or whatever. Hey, what the fuck is going on in there? I hope that's not my tape. All right, I'm just going to go on. All right, close your bank accounts. You know what?
It's a fucking rain!
I haven't had a bank account. I'm serious. I'm 46, guys. I have not had a bank account since I was 12. I'm serious. I do not mess around with banks. You know what? Because anyone can peek into your account. Okay? Create a fake plot or organization. Yeah, you can do that for some black propaganda before. You know, kind of like what James Mowry did in WASP. You know, he said DAG is going to kick the system's ass. And then he put that all over the town. Got the system in an uproar about this revolutionary organization. Then he started acting. You know, you could do it in conjunction with your actions. Who knows? Create a real organization. No, don't do that if you're a ghost wolf. Join tax protesters on April 15th. Ghost wolf, don't do that stuff. Okay, learn dumpster diving. Absolutely. I found some good stuff in dumpsters. Get healthy. Now, I've talked about that. You need to be in the best shape you possibly can. Learn to disappear in a crowd. I mean, that's good stuff there. Learn to disappear in a crowd. I've been talking about that stuff, guys. Come on. Okay, find a balancing point in dealing with people, whatever. Follow your bliss. Yeah, you know, if something makes you happy, you know, definitely follow that. Your 3-day grab-and-go kit. I think I've talked about that. Your bug-out bag. You should absolutely put one of those together. Building your emergency water supply. Now, if you store water, like in a 5-gallon bucket or whatever, it's good, I think, for a couple of years, as long as you put, like, a drop of unscented bleach in it or something like that, just a drop, you know, just to keep organisms from growing in there. You guys know, I'm sure there's guys out there know more about that than me. Okay, building your emergency food supply. You know, I guess canned goods are good for a couple of years also. So you got to rotate that stuff around. Building your medical kit. It's be good to have some kind of first aid stuff, you know, stowed away somewhere. Not only in your house, but, you know, in a covert cache somewhere. Your survival weapon supply. You know, machetes, knives, guns, all that stuff. I mean, start thinking about where you would store that stuff. Start thinking about tools and equipment, you know. Maybe good to, when shit is the fan, if you have some tools, a pair of pliers or a pair of tin snips or something. Some places to find all of the above. I guess, you know, just cash that stuff. Building your skills. You know, you should be building, now this is me tweaking this the way I think we should do it. Just build your skills in everything that we've been talking about for months now. Martial arts, weapons, knives, sticks, unarmed combat, you know, if you're facing someone that's got a knife disarm and stuff like that, you know, your skills on how to be covert and not noticed by a crowd, disappear in a crowd, stuff like that. Prepare your children, pets, and aging relatives. You know what, I don't even want to comment. I don't have aging relatives and I don't have children, so... You know, but if I'm starving to death and I gotta eat Fido, you know, it's just gotta be that way. Avoid bear bait cars and other attention-getting vehicles. That, yes, this is the section. You know what? I really don't think it's, you know, if you're a ghost group out there and you got some kind of classic old cars or whatever, you know, and you can balance it to more power to you, you know. But if things go south in this country and you gotta survive by your wits, you know, that's not gonna help you out there. You definitely don't wanna attract attention to yourself. A lot of starving people out there, they think you got money, now you got all kinds of problems. You have to sleep with one eye open at night. Find a non-government occupation. Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think working for the government, you could be an early warning device for us. You could, sabotage some of their things. Never beg for your rights. Absolutely don't beg for your rights, because you don't have rights. All you have are privileges. Make them fill out your paperwork. He has this thing where he sent, you know, like the IRS some paperwork. I didn't understand what you wanted me to fill out, so please fill out this form. You know what? Don't even do bullshit like that. All right. If you must vote, you know, they say put Mickey Mouse in there or something like that. You know what? Don't even do shit like that. That's just a waste of your time, because you're not really getting anything done. Get to know your neighbors. Absolutely. Find out who your neighbors are that got dependencies, and they got access to a certain information that you need. You can play on that dependency. You know, who's the nosy neighbor that you need to be careful of? Stuff like that. So definitely get to know your neighbors. Network, but wisely and discreetly. I totally agree with that. Okay, 93. Imitate or intimidate back at them. Don't do that. That attracts attention. Don't try to intimidate the IRS or the DEA or any of that shit. Okay? Don't, you know, just don't do it. Know when and whether you could kill. Personally, I leave it up to you. I say, do it whenever you want. Alright, if you must vote, that was another one. I have nothing written down by it, so I guess it wasn't worth mentioning. All right, 96, learn privacy rights and protect them. Yeah, I guess, you know, you can use the word rights when you're dealing with privacy and stuff like that. I don't know. It says, bury gold, guns, and goodies. Well, I've been talking about that for a while, so you need to have good cache sites for certain things. And don't bury them just 6 inches under the ground, you know. No less than two feet, you know. 98, maybe you're already a terrorist. Well, you know, we are, definitely. We believe in survival of the white race. We're already on their shit list. put a warning sign on your property, you know, the 99. Put a warning sign on your property that says, the person that lives here believes in freedom, don't come tread on me. Don't do stupid shit like that if you're a ghost wolf. If you're truly a ghost wolf, don't do stuff like that. All right. 100, if you can risk it, don't pay income taxes. Absolutely. Don't pay income taxes. If you can find a way of getting around that, I agree. Okay, don't fire until you see the whites in her eyes. I disagree. I think you should fire if they're a mile away. And you got a flash suppressor, you got a, silencer or whatever. Absolutely. Okay. I'm reading this magazine, Outdoor Life, Outdoor Life, and there's this story here about the guys out in the Northwest who hunt cougars, and I thought it was really cool. And here's a description of one of their cougars, Earl, they call him Earl, this mountain lion that they're hunting. It's so smart, they say, he'll cut a track to a road, then walk that road for a long ways to throw off trackers and dogs alike. One time they found a single paw print along a highway guardrail, and they set off chasing Earl for days. They fantasized about how great it would be for a hunter with a tag in his pocket to finally get old Earl in a tree. Downer explains how an ideal mountain lion hunt will play out. We hope the cat stays high. When they go low into the gorges, it's a mess of a hunt going down in there, and dangerous too. Look at that. I mean, even the fucking animal world knows to go low in low ground to avoid detection. Okay? Even sometimes cougars, mountain lions will not climb a tree, but maybe go down to the gorges where it's harder to be detected. So, once again, pay your respects to the animal world, which we need to get closer to. Okay. The savviest of toms, tomcats, mountain lions, whatever, like an elusive male, they have named Old Earl, will run on roads to throw off trackers, then wait in ambush for the hounds. I wonder if I could do that. Okay, next morning, the boys hit the mother load. Two sets of lion tracks across a remote snow-covered trail. Downer gets next to one, and with his face directly in the track, blows hard, pushing drifted snow out of the track. He comes up with his face all white and grinning. He fingers the track, pushing at the edges, and he judges it to be a few hours old. Now, you guys that know about tracking out there, is that true? Just, you can put your face down in a track and blow the snow out of it? I mean, I wonder if you can distort the track by doing that, but I guess, you're not looking for a specific boot print of a human being, which maybe you would destroy by blowing into it, but maybe an animal track, it doesn't make a difference, so. Alright, a speck of blood in one of the tracks, and he figures that there was a kill nearby and the cats have come to feed. The box dogs, picking up on the man's excited voices, go nuts. Gonna get the dogs dumped before noon. That means they release the dogs. And a good time to keep you from spending a night in the snowy woods, done that plenty of times, Downer says, and everyone starts messing with collars, ropes, leads, snaps, swivels, boots, packs, and jackets. Schultz runs uphill with his tracks. As Downer flings gear, Schultz slides off the embankment and with a chunk of frozen cat scat clenching his teeth. These white mountain boys, this guy's running with a piece of frozen cat shit in his mouth. They had a picture of him too with it. Anyways, he transfers it to his pocket, grinning. I keep a chunk of this whenever I find it. It gets the dogs all jazzed up. I wonder if they can track the scent of that by doing that. Interesting. Alright. Maybe I'll get back to that story. Maybe I won't. I definitely want to make sure I cover some stuff. Okay, I want to talk about radio transmissions, okay? When I was in the service, we never made long radio transmissions, and we made it our practice to make short burst radio transmissions because, the Soviets had this thing called RDF, radio direction finding missiles, They could lock on to your frequency and actually send a missile that will lock on to your frequency and send it right to your location. So we definitely made sure we keep each of our transmissions a split second or not split, but maybe a couple seconds, no more. You know, for example, like let's say Tom Metzger's call sign is Bravo 6, and mine is Bravo 1. And I want to tell him that I got troops in a certain position, that maybe if he can, call some of our guerrilla mortar guys for a fire mission or so. You know, so maybe a radio transmission would go something like this. Bravo 6, this is Bravo 1, break. All right, when you say break, I'm letting Bravo 6 know that, hey, I'm unsquelching, I'm unkeying my mic to break the transmission so they can't find me with a missile, and that lets them know that I still got more transmissions to come and that I'm going to be breaking up the transmission. I mean, it's just good radio practice to do this, okay? Especially if things get hot in this country in a guerrilla type of way. So I'll say, Bravo 6 is Bravo 1, break. I got troops in the open, break. At grid coordinates, Golf Lima 135678, break. And I would never let any of my transmissions, and you would never let any of your transmissions go more than a couple of seconds. You start getting on and say, yeah, Bravo 6 is Bravo 1. I got troops on a hilltop at Hill 907, grid coordinates, Golf Lima 12345678, you know. And I didn't break it all. I mean, they could easily send a missile my way that would lock onto my radio frequency. Okay? So, don't do that. Keep radio. If you get to a point and you're in a cell structure, you're talking on two ways and stuff like that, keep your radio frequencies or your transmission short and sweet. All right? I heard someone say the other day that stress is the fertilizer of creativity. That's kind of cool. Stress, the fertilizer of creativity. All right. I want to talk about something here for a minute. Now, we've said many times on shows before that we would never write anything down, okay? But in my book that I'm writing, this is an early stage of Eric Blackburn's guerrilla activities, okay? Now, he wanted to create a profile in the minds of people who would be looking for him. Because when it comes to criminal profiling this and that, in the future, it won't be just, you know, FBI using those techniques. It'll be Chinese occupation forces, maybe UN troops and stuff like that. You know, psychological profiling is becoming pretty ubiquitous. It's fucking all over the place, okay? Now, early in his activities, he decided to create a profile that absolutely did not mirror him at all. Now, he would buy index cards, you know, at like a local drugstore, and he would take out a couple of them, take out a few of them, and then throw the pack away in a garbage can nowhere near where he lived or where he worked. Why? You know, he wrapped them up in a Dorito bag that was empty and then threw them in the garbage, so, you know, it's just trash. And if anyone finds it, you know, they won't think nothing of it, because the few that he took out will be used in activities nowhere near where he bought those cards. Okay? Some of you may think, well, that's over-analyzing. Over-analysis creates paralysis, like some guy said the other day. You know what? I think planning, at least a little planning, is better than going off half-cocked. You know, too many of our guys in jail for half-cocked shit. All right, so he took a couple of index cards, and he never handled them with his hand. This is what I got going on in my book, and I just want to run it by you guys. You know, maybe get some feedback or whatever. You know, think this would be a good plot. These would be good techniques to make the reading exciting, you know. Okay, so he takes these index cards, and he writes in block lettering, and always varying when the shaping of his letters. Sometimes he goes left to right. Sometimes he goes left and down to the right. Sometimes he goes right and up to the left. Always varying his letters, so he never sets a pattern, even though he's using block lettering, which is very hard to trace. Okay. So he writes a little note by a job he did, where he actually has it already written out, and he never handles that index card with his bare hands. And he did a little act, and he says that this is the Omega Strain. And my name is Sam Fisher. and you know, we are the Ghost Recon of the Forest of Ashburn. We're the splinter cell that is going to bring you Revolutionary War to your front door. Now, these three things, Omega Strain, Splinter Cell, and Ghost Recon, are all games. Okay? First of all, they're going to think, well, he's probably within between the ages of maybe 18 or 15 or 30. And they're going to think that he's an avid gamer. You know, this guy just can't get enough games. Each time he puts one of these cards there, he mentions a game of some kind, like Ares, the God of War, or, you know, you guys, you know, Crusader, you know, or Assassin, you know, the one that takes place with the Crusaders. So, now he does that to create a profile in their mind, a profile that is diametrically different than the one that comes natural to him. If anybody was to be questioned that was close to Frank, or close to Eric Blackburn, they would say, oh no, he doesn't play video games. He thinks video games are an exercise of futility. He doesn't get into them at all. You know, and they won't be looking for someone who's a loner, who's a gamer, and probably younger. So you could use, you know, like I said, all warfare is based on deception. But that would be a good technique, especially if you never handled those cards. And the reason why he only took a couple cards out and threw the pack away, because the rotary die in the factory that makes those cards, if there's any kind of imperfection in the blade, it'll show up throughout the whole pack. So if he leaves one of these at the scene and they get it, and then somehow Eric becomes a person of interest, and they, you know, get a search warrant, they see, search his house, and they find a pack of index cards, well, we'll just put that samples out of that index card into a, under an electron microscope, you know, that magnifies many thousands of times, and they can actually tell if the one that was found at the scene belonged to that pack because of the tool marks. Tool mark analysis. They can, you know, they can look at a piece of paper and tell you it matched to a specific tool that cut that paper. So you never want to leave anything to chance. If that's over analysis, then I don't know, my mind just works that way. I overanalyze everything, and it never led to paralysis, okay? So, you know, he only kept a couple of them for a couple of jobs he did. When he ran out, he would go to some other store far away from where he lived or from where he hung around with his family or his friends, and went into another dollar store, bought another pack, took a couple out, never handling them with his hands, and threw the pack away in some garbage can in that town that he went to. Now, but that would throw them off. If you know about criminal profiling and geographic profiling, how they, you know, if you become a person of interest, they look at the things that would have happened, and then they look at a geographic map and see how close they were, these acts were, to where you lived or where you worked. And then they look at your criminal background, what kind of criminal background does he have? Well, Eric doesn't have any criminal background. Never been in trouble with the law one time. So he flew under the radar for years because of that. And that's not overanalyzing, guys. To wear nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing, okay? To recon a town that he went to prior before he went there by looking at aerial photos from Google Earth or anything like that. Get to know the town. You can find out what businesses are in that town, where they're located. Google will plot them on a map for you, you know. You can have a little folder of that stuff and just memorize the shit out of it. You know, the First Episcopalian Church is on 519 4th Avenue, and that's the church that has all these charity programs for the MUDs and stuff like that. You know, I mean, just, you know, he doesn't bring it with him, but he memorizes it, and if he has problems with his memory, maybe he may bring that stuff, but he makes sure that once he's done with his op, he burns it. I don't think that's overanalyzing, okay? And creating this false profile by calling himself the Omega Strain, and Sam Fisher, who's like the main character of that game, I guess. I'm not real familiar with games. But that's going to just send their investigation in a direction that's far away from Eric. Okay? something else, I just want to point out to you guys that if you're ever in need of maps, colleges that have a geology department and schools that have civil engineering have intricate maps about wooded areas, about fields and what utilities are laid where, you know, real detailed maps. You know, if the maps you're getting on the internet are not good enough for that, then you can seek them in places like that. Also, you know, you can get military manuals on urban combat and patrolling and stuff like that at a school that's got an ROTC program. You know, just kind of scout it out. I mean, you know, use your imagination. But overanalyzing, overanalysis creates paralysis. This person is absolutely correct, but you got to have some kind of planning. You recon the town before you leave. When the minute you drive in that city limits, you are dressed in an uncharacteristic way. Your car is a Trojan horse, meaning you got bumper stickers on the back of your car that have absolutely nothing to do with your worldview. You know, you have, if you've downloaded the aerial photographs of certain places you want to visit, they don't leave the car. Maybe, you know, you can drive in the vicinity and spend a couple minutes in your car looking at that photo and then taking a walk. And then, during the daytime you want to just walk around the area, kind of mentally note where all the surveillance cameras are and make sure you plan, and then go back to your car and plan your route, looking at the map, topographic map, looking at the aerial photos and plan your escape route. That will not go nowhere near that bank camera or that surveillance camera on that Burger King, you know. But even in case there's a camera that you don't see, you don't go fucking searching for them like you're looking over your shoulder everywhere looking for these cameras. You gotta do it nonchalantly. You gotta do it with casual confidence. Okay? So, go about your way, casual confidence. Come back to your car, kind of, you know, you made a mental note that there was a traffic camera on the intersection of 4th Avenue and Broadway Avenue. Well, you know what? You go back, you look at your map, you know, after you've done all your day reconning, noting where all the cameras are. And then when night rolls around, when you egress out of there, on foot and on car, or and in car, you go nowhere near those cameras, or try to, you know. And it'd be nice if your egress, your vehicular egress, was during the hours where there's still some human activity out on the road. Okay, so you can blend in with that. If you're doing your egress out of the area at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, you're going to make their search a lot easier because they're going to know the time of the mission or the op that took place. And all the, and you know, the traffic committee or the traffic people are just going to scan all their cameras and look for a car that was cruising in that area or getting out of that area at that 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what? And most likely there's not going to be a lot of cars on the road during that time. So, just something to think about. Another thing Eric Blackburn did. He went to go see a college professor. Real fucking social Marxist piece of shit. Dressed in uncharacteristic clothing, he did not park in the school parking lot. He parked in an apartment complex that was a few blocks away and walked up to the school nonchalantly. He had an appointment with this professor. And he set it up at a phone that had nothing to do with him. Remember I told you about that a couple shows ago? I told you about the will call at the back of a industrial place. Go in the will call, act like you're a delivery driver. Say, I need to use your phone. Can I call? I need to call my dispatch. Is that all right? You know, you get on the phone, you call dispatch, and you call the school, or you call his secretary, whatever, set up an appointment, and she has her return number. So now, you know, I'm kind of like in between place to move right now. I'm kind of putting my life back together, and I really want to get going, get back at school. But you can give them a pseudonym email address. If you tell them if the appointment changes, just email me at this address, okay? And remember, when you go check your email, you're in nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing. Is that overanalyzing? I don't think so. Put a little thought in your fucking activities. So Eric went to go visit with the guy, and the guy's sitting on the other side of the desk, and Eric's got his school book bag right in front of him. You know, and they're talking political science, because the guy's a political science professor. And he's being very cordial with him. He's not fucking staring at him hard, because that puts people on edge, okay? No aggressive micro-expressions. Train yourself into that. You can. I've done it, okay? I've really trained at, you know, not attacking people, but like when I'm in training with one of my martial arts buddies, I try to go into a blitz attack or something like that with a smile on my face, man. I mean, just train yourself at that shit. So, it's a lot of fun, too. But, so he's talking to the guy, and he reaches down into a book bag. So listen, there's this book right by this guy that I want to show you. And he pulls out this thing. Now, let me describe it. It's a, you know, the cardboard core of a roll of paper towels? It's that. Inside of it's lined with tinfoil, and it's taped at both ends to keep the tinfoil in place. Around the cardboard core, he's got a towel wrapped around it, and the towel overhangs the edge of the cardboard end by about 4 inches. And he's got that taped around there, even around the end that overhang the edge or the end of the cardboard core. And he stuck his 9mm Taurus in there, and he was able to get off a couple of shots. Now, it didn't silence it completely, but it did muffle it. And he just, you know, and the guy's just sitting there clutching his fucking chest because just the shock that he got shot, because he thought Eric was reaching for a book in his book bag, but it was this homemade silencer in his firearm, and he blasted him twice in the chest. Or was it once? I don't remember. And then when this guy's, you know, holding his chest and got this look of shock on his face because he wasn't expecting to get shot, you know, he's the kind of guy, he thinks he's fucking God's gift to people, man. He does people thinking for him. You know, he's intoxicated by the sound of his own voice. Most social Marxists are. You know, and then he goes up to him and he slams him forward. You know, he's not going to shoot him again in case anyone hears it, even though it's muffled. But then he cuts his throat. And he cuts his throat from behind, and he makes sure that his chin touches his chest. So this boy, if he held his head back and the blood was spray everywhere, couldn't get on him, he don't want that to happen. He wanted to make sure that he stuck the knife in his throat, across his throat, and then made sure that his chin was touching his chest by it, and he just ripped across and just, you know, finished the job off that way. And this way he's bleeding onto his chest and onto his desk, and no blood got on Eric that way. He picked up all his stuff calmly, walked out of the man's office, and before he closed the door, he would look back at the dead professor, thank you, professor, for your time, and I'll be in touch. And he would, like, shake his head like the professor says him, okay, thank you. And he would close the door and calmly walk out of the office, and he walked out of the fucking school, and no one knew the wiser. He wasn't found till later on that night when the janitors went in there to clean the office. Dead social monsters. So, you know, I kind of got a little action going on in this book, you know, so. But I want to keep it within the realm of realistic. You know what I mean? I don't want to do stuff like that. I got that silencer trick from actually The Godfather. Remember in the end of The Godfather when Vito Corleone was tracking the Black Hand guy during that Italian celebration? He's staying on the rooftops monitoring his position, and then he ambushed him right outside of his own door. Remember, he unscrewed the light bulb, and he had a revolver wrapped around the towel. Now, with a revolver, you would have to wrap the whole towel around the whole firearm, because if you just put some at the end of a revolver, it'll still sound loud because the explosive sound will come out of the cylinder, not necessarily the barrel. Okay, so when you silence a revolver, you got to put something around the entire weapon, whereas an automatic or semi-automatic, you just put something on the front of it, because all of the percussion and the gases and whatever will come out the funnel. Whereas in a revolver, it comes out, some of it comes out the center. Okay? But that was kind of a cool technique where Robert De Niro kind of wrapped this towel around this revolver and it muffled the shot. You know, so that's what I kind of plagiarized off of that. Well, since I'm not making a movie, you know, I don't give a shit. Alright. I don't know if I have time to get to some other things. I got a hold of some training manuals here. And just want that associate out there, though, to write me, the one who contacted me the other day about over-analysis leads to paralysis. You're right, but if you don't have, at the very least, you need to plan is you need to wear uncharacteristic, nondescript clothing, and when you go to this town that's not affiliated with you, you need to know where you're going. So you need to do some map recons. If you are completely unknown by the system, you've never got on the police radar for any racial activities, your friends don't know you as a racist, man, you are fucking unstoppable. You don't have to go out of town and do your thing. You can do it, you know, a couple towns over. You can do it a town over from where you work or a town over from where you live or right there in your own neighborhood. If you're like one of the last people that they would suspect, that's the power of Ghost Wolf, where gorillas don't have it. Gorillas usually operate in groups. Groups can be more easily detected, okay? I've advocated before where guys got, you know, picked themselves up and just moved to another town and just kind of reinvent themselves and go to work. That will work, but the Ghost Wolf is powerful. You need to see yourself as powerful. I smell the sulfur of the match and the kerosene. It's time to burn the money because it just turned green. Ex-presidents always win with three of a kind. It's time they drink my turpentine wine. The black man turns white at the sight of my axe. There's always bad blood between me and the blacks. These mindless monkeys think they're so cool. They're blind to the truth, so they're really the fool. I'm the midnight sun who deals death blows. I hop the fence to the palace and keep myself low. With revolutionary action, I'm in too deep. Fighting for my race is the promise I will keep. The white race has been dying for years. Too many of our people put their hands on their ears, meaning they don't want to hear it. Tonight, I will kneel before Chaos the King. He holds the key to my prison of screams. As the night, as the sky of the day enters its final phase, all the Jews' glory is about to be erased. It's the loss of all their materialistic charms and all the other lies that did us great harm. Must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. You must carpe noctem, okay? The window of opportunity for us to do anything is not going to stay open definitely, okay? They're getting more and more technology on how to track people. You know, they want to do away with borders and have, you know, international police forces set up worldwide. You can have Africans and Norwegian UN troops marching down your street. I saw on Nightline last night that rich Chinese are coming over here looking at real estate. Tom Metzger's not lying about that. How much, I mean, are you going to wait till your back is against the wall before you fucking act? You are running out of time. And maybe you only listen to these shows to get your ear tickled. And I can't do nothing to control that. And if that's what you're doing, you know, then the hell with you. But we must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children. Carpe noctem, 14.
Well, that's a great training session, Frankie. Really good. Even if I did screw you up a couple of times. Yeah. Well, let's cover a few things here. Say, here's something that may seem like a little thing to some people, but have you noticed all the signs to turn in your jewelry, your gold jewelry and silver jewelry and old coins? And they got guys coming out having little, setting up their card tables everywhere. And the big ads in the newspaper and so forth and so on. Well, let me tell you something. Especially if you're a senior citizen, and a lot of times seniors will have more of that stuff laying around. Or if your grandmother, grandfather, mother, father, tell them to hang on to that stuff. Tell them to hang on. Don't go run it down there and turn that in, because you're not going to get probably anything what it's worth, even if there's honest guys doing it. So what you need to do, if you're not starving to death now and don't absolutely have to have that money, take that old jewelry and coins and so forth, and put it in a bag or a box, put it away, because that stuff's not going to get any less valuable. And I'm highly suspicious of most of these guys that are going around and they're looking at it, and then they make you an offer. Well, you don't have experts yourself, probably, looking it over, unless you go to a jewelry store and get an estimate on something. So put the word out. Watch it. Don't go running down there with all that old gold and so forth, because it's going to be worth a lot more as time goes on, and you're going to need it. Yes, that's a tip from Tommy from The Insurgent. Now I want to give you another tip. You know, they have auctions all over the place, and you've heard me talk about making some great deals at auctions. I mean, a lot of times these auctions, there's 200 or 300 people at those auctions, but a lot of the auctions have got a lot of stuff for sale, and things that you're going to need, especially if you're getting yourself a little place out in the country, where you can buy for 10, 20 cents on the dollar what it'll cost you to go down to the local hardware and buy. Oh, also on that, I was mentioned on that gold and silver too, because you'd probably end up just taking that money and going out and blowing it at Walmart on some Japanese or Chinese junk. So anyhow, that was a little addendum there. But anyhow, I come upon a little idea on these auctions accidentally. One auction I went to, I went late, and I happened to go in the back lot where the trash cans are, where the big dump buckets or whatever you call those things. And I just happened to look in. I saw some damn good stuff in there. In fact, I got a whole set of really good dishes, almost antique dishes. And there was other things in there. And I picked them all out. Nobody bothered me because they're in the junk, in the dump. Going to be hauled off to the dump. Well, what happens after a lot of these big auctions, they have a lot of stuff people just don't want, and it's not worth keeping it around and trying to sell it. So they dump it right after the auction. And then there's a lot of people who will buy something, maybe buy a box of things, and only pick out what they want and throw the rest in the dump. But there, a lot of times there's good stuff. I've seen good sofas, overstuffed chairs, mirrors, dishes, sometimes even tools. So if you go to these auctions, and like Frankie said, and of course I've promoted this for years, dumpster diving is fine. And another thing, if you know when trash pickup day is, and you should, around town or in different neighborhoods, before the trash man comes around, go around ahead of the trash truck. A lot of times you'll see something damn good sitting there on the curb that you can. Sometimes it's okay, it works. I picked up a couple electronic things that way that worked fine. I don't know what the hell they threw them out for. I guess they got tired of looking at them. So that's another thing you can do, and especially as the economy gets a little bit more tight, so to speak. Another point I wanted to make is, another way they're going to be screwing white people is that Obama and I guess the Congress have gone along with ordering whoever does the ordering of judges, especially in the urban areas, to have the discretion of modifying the mortgage agreement for people who have lost their houses. Well, thousands and thousands of these were wetbacks and blacks that knew they couldn't pay for it in the first place. Stupid people. Well, now Obama's setting it up to where the judge can say, oh, well, we're not going to charge him this much. We'll cut in half or cut in a third or like that to get the house back. But it's going to apply mainly to the non-whites in the urban areas. Don't let them kid you. They try to make it sound like it's going to be in the outlying areas where there's more white people. But it's mainly going to benefit the people who already have caused the much of the problem our financial situation sees. So watch that very carefully. And if they get away with this by rewriting the agreements for mortgage to all these niggers and wetbacks, they're going to transfer that bill right over to other people. people that can still pay taxes, and even people who are trying to get their mortgage taken down the line themselves, but they may find the judge won't even go by those rules. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I see Matt Damon is running around Nigger Africa. These movie stars are something else. When's the last time you saw a movie star tour the United States through the Midwest and all the little towns and down south? I mean, they go over to Africa, they go over to Asia, they go over to every country in the world. They're making their money here. Most of their money is made here. But and George Clooney, too, he's into the nigger thing. And they'll go over there and whine and cry and radio and TV interview them. And, you know, now Matt Damon, he's upset about how these people in Zimbabwe are doing. Well, it's Mugabe. He's been in power for, what, 25 years? He's 80-some years old. But yet he still keeps doing what he's doing. Now, if Matt Damon had any balls, which he doesn't, you know, these Hollywood people that like to play big, strong, sometimes outlaws and criminals and soldiers or whatever they play. Why don't Matt Damon put a bounty on that son of a bitch's head? You know, Mugabe. Why don't George Clooney just put up a few of his bucks and say, hey, put this guy to sleep? See, all this is bullshit. Their press agents, their Jew press agents, their directors, their managers say, you need some positive PR, you know. Maybe you got drunk and they got you on camera, and maybe your wife's leaving. You need some good PR. So go on down to Africa, that's what everybody does, and cry over the niggers. And if you do that, they'll put you all the newspapers, all over the magazines, and all over TV. What a wonderful person you are. And that's how rotten Hollywood stars are. Well, there's one thing I can say for Obama. I sort of agreed with what he did about, if he did talk to the Russians about not putting up the missiles around Russia, if they would sort of try to keep Iran under control. I agreed with that position. Now, if a guy does something I think is right, I'm not going to deny him that. So I'll give him that, even though he's a sex pervert, has been a cocaine user, evidently takes it in the ass and the whole bit. But beyond that, he did a pretty good thing there. And one thing he just did, which really thrilled me, allegedly he removed Churchill's bust from the White House. Now, this is no insult by me towards the United Kingdom and the British people, white people. It's because, in reality, Churchill was the worst thing that ever happened to England. And he was the one who was the war guy. We got to have a war. We got to have a war, you know. And he's such a two-faced bastard, too. I mean, early on in his career, he was Secretary of the Navy over there, Lord of the Navy. He used to say what bastards the Russians, the communists were, and all their Jew people. The Jews were terrible. Read what he said about the Jews early on in the newspapers. Then he turned right around and allied with Russia, which was pretty much controlled by the Jews. I have absolutely no use for Churchill, FDR, and I'm even having less and less regard for Uncle Adolf, to be perfectly honest. Because they all three did everything they could in one way or another to destroy the white race. Yeah, I know some of you guys are going to squeal, but that's just how I feel about it. Now, I told you we had these illegal alien hunting licenses that I ordered them to get cheap ones with the in black and white and smaller, but they didn't listen to what I said, and they printed the fancy ones in color, and they're about 4x4, and you can use them for a bumper sticker or whatever. You can see them for quite a ways. I've got one on the back of my truck. But I'm going to have to charge you $1 a piece. I know I started out saying go ready for $100, and it kind of, believe me, they cost me way too much money. So, and I was going to do it two for a dollar, but I can't do that. I can't do that. They're dollar a piece. Now, if you want to wait around till I get the next printing, where I'm going to put some that are about half that size or a third that size in black and white sticky paper, they'll go for a lot cheaper. But these are really nice. The original that was sent to me by Brother Mahone over there in Illinois cost $4. He paid $4 for the original that I copied off of. So they're definitely getting the money for them. And if you want me to, anybody out there wants me to get them 100 of them printed up, I can get them printed up. I'll get you 100 printed up for $75. That way we make a little profit. And you can go out there and sell those damn things like Mahon said, $4 a piece, even at $3 a piece. So anyhow, you can order those from merchandise at resist.com. Hey, you remember always talking about David's Star David? And why don't you call your congressman and senator or write a letter to the newspaper about these 16,000 appeals for medical treatments that were simply dumped and thousands of them that have been shredded or were ready for shredded. And the way they found about this out was they offered an amnesty for whistleblowers in the VA. And if they hadn't done that, they never would have found it out. So people wonder, well, how come they never get a call from the VA to come on in? And remember, most of this happened in Detroit. Now, you know, these offices are probably 80%, maybe 90% black nigger. And the rest, probably white nigger. So there you go. I see these ads all the time on TV. They're saying, do you have good credit? Let us get you good credit. Is somebody checking your credit out and you don't know about it? Got to thinking about that. You know, my position is that bad credit is not so bad. Because credit, like I said, is what enslaves you. And the more you have credit, in other words, the more you owe, the less you can go. Yeah. And I really learned that a little bit the hard way, because when they got $10 million judgment against me in the Portland case, suddenly I didn't have any seeable money, and I didn't have any credit, even though I'd had great credit up until that point. So I couldn't buy things on credit. Now, I could have a credit card. That's interesting that after all that, I was able to have a credit card. But the point is that not having credit opened up a whole new world to me. I didn't buy things all the time I used to, and go into debt for things. Instead of owning a house, I rented a house. Instead of driving a newer car, I drove an old car, and still do. So I think credit itself is what's killing the white race. We'd probably be better if they cut off all credit to white people. Oh my God. Wouldn't they go through withdrawals? It'd be terrible for a while. But you know, I think when they came out the other side, they'd be a whole new race of people. White people. Yeah. Think about that. See what... Look what credit's doing to us. Look what credit's done to us. It's a drug. And it'll kill you. It'll kill you. Well, that's about it for today. Tomorrow is Friday. Freya's Day. Boy, these days go by fast. When you're doing these radio shows and stuff, and then doing your regular things that you do, and doing the mail, and doing the email, and doing the postage, and going to the post office, and doing all that stuff. Boy, your days go by fast. I think they go by faster here in Indiana than they did in California. And now it looks like we're going to get a little spring weather, so I can get my thong on and G-string, whatever you want to call it, one of those French things, get out in the backyard, all the old ladies going down the road are going to get a big shock. Yeah. 14 words and 5. Remember, most people are always wrong when it's important, most important, to be right. Yeah.